Good morning. Seems rather strange. It was lovely at Morven till Rachel turned up, didn't it? That's what she said. Good to be with you again this morning. And the back row already said they're going to go to sleep. Thank you very much. Two donkeys walking on the streets in Jerusalem. The one donkey turned to the other donkey and he said, a few days ago, I had a man called Jesus on my back. Everybody was cheering and praising, waving palms and throwing their clothes in front of me to walk on. Today, nobody's even turned a head. The other donkey turned around and said, that's life. You're nothing without Jesus. Let's pray. We thank you, Father. We have everything in you. That we are nothing without you. Pray, Father, just bless and speak to every heart and to every life. And Lord, just minister, Lord, to everyone in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like you to turn your Bibles. I promise I'm going to be finished by 4 o'clock. Genesis 5, sorry, verse 18 to 24. Up there, isn't it? My eyes are getting worse. There is an advantage to that. It means I can't see you so well. Praise the Lord. Okay. 18 of verse of chapter 20 of chapter 5 of Genesis. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. Imagine being a father at 162. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. That's better, 65. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him. It says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, bodily exercise profiteth little. How fit are you? I'm not going to ask you all to stand up and stretch your hands and go down to the floor because I know I would lose half the congregation for the rest of the day. But I am a very competitive person. I hate losing more than I love winning. And believe me, I love winning. And I cannot stand being second. I want to have an abundant entrance into heaven. I want to go through the front door. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm not satisfied with creeping round the back door and just about getting into heaven. You know what second place means? It means you're the first loser. So how fit are you? I'm talking about spiritually. I'm contradicting what Robin's been telling us to realise that. Robin, I want to be first. I want the gold medal, not the second or the third. We are in a battle. To be fit means we have to diet properly, eat the right food, watch what we eat, watch what we see when the God channel is concerned. We have to discipline ourselves, leaving behind the milk of the word and moving on to the meat of the word. Good habits. Bringing our desires under our control in the same spiritually as we do in our physical. And over the next 2 weeks, this week and the next one, God willing, I aim to get you all fit. Spiritually fit. Here is the good news. It will not cost you a penny. See, so many people, they spend fortunes on going to the gym and getting fit, and I used to till I hurt my knee. And I've seen people come out in the most wonderful tracksuits, the most expensive trainers, walk out to the gym and open a packet of cigarettes and have a smoke. And I think, how stupid is that? Nobody here, is it? No, that's okay, right? There's no need for trainers, no need for Lycra. Thank goodness for that. No gym equipment. It's all perfectly free. All you need is a Bible, an ear to ear, and a receptive spirit. You don't have to even leave your seat. So what is our first steps to getting spiritually fit? It is said that if you walk for 20 minutes every day, you'll gradually get fitter. That is true, especially when you walk 20 minutes with Jesus every day. You'll get spiritually fitter. Is it possible to live in this godless, sinful, secular, humanistic, depraved world, a life that glorifies God? To live a righteous life, to retain your Christian character and witness? I would say, let's contend this morning, not only is it possible, it is our duty to do so. The answer is yes. It is possible. It is our responsibility. We are light and we are salt in the earth. The church is not a retirement home for Christians. We do not retire until we get to glory. And even when we get to glory, we're going to have duties and things that we have to do. There were three men in the Bible: Noah, Job and Enoch. Three men who lived exemplary, righteous lives in a world that was full of evil and sin, full of darkness and corruption. And the darker the night becomes, so the light of the Christian gospel should shine brighter. It's the latter of these three men I want us to look at this morning. Who was this extraordinary man, Enoch? Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow. If every one of us this morning in this place could say we had a life that pleased God. Enoch pleased God. The world does not please God. The world cannot please God because it is full of corruption and sin. Little is known about Enoch except the most important thing of all, that his life and walk pleased God. And I believe in the world in which we live, it is still possible for our lives to please God. We know that at the age of 65, Enoch became a father. The father of a son called Methuselah. I don't know if you know what the name Methuselah means. Anybody want to guess? Robin? No? It means, his name means that after his death would come the judgment. We know nothing about Enoch, his profession, his job, his position. He was born 662 years after Adam. But we know he had a special relationship with God and had a glorious exit from this world. Nothing unique about Enoch as far as him having a special relationship with God. We can all have a special relationship with God. In this chapter, we have a list of people and how long they lived. Adam, 930 years. Seth, 912 years. Enos, 905 years. Canaan, 910 years. And so on. But in each case, it then adds, and he died. Showing the result of sin, that all men die, except for Enoch. What an epitaph to have on your gravestone. But of course, Enoch never had a gravestone because God took him. I believe with the empowering of the Holy Spirit we can live a life and walk that is pleasing to God. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Whatever the power of the world that comes against a Christian, we have someone in our lives who is able to overcome all those things and make us overcomers ourselves. The days in which Enoch lived are the mirror image of the world in which we live today. We look at Genesis, we see the state of the world before the flood, and we can see a mirror image of that state in which we are living today. The conditions were the same: rejection of God's word, rejection of God's law, people going their own way, worshipping the way they feel is best for them, and rejecting God's principles and statutes. What is it important to walk with God? Why is it important to have a fellowship every day walking with God? How strange it would be to walk with someone and never talk, never communicate, never speak to them. And as we walk with God, He communicates with us. He tells us, He talks to us, He reveals His heart, He reveals His plans, He reveals His mind. He tells us what He wants us to do and what He's going to do. We get to know Him in ways we have never known before. Do you feel this morning as though there is something in your Christian life that is lacking, that you may have lost because you don't any near feel as though you're walking with God? God must be walking with us before He can work through us. To walk with God means moving along step by step with Him. Walking in unity, walking in faith, and walking in purpose. We are not our own. We do not please ourselves. We have to know the mind of God. We have to know the mind of the Spirit. It doesn't mean moving ahead. It doesn't mean going our own way. It means watching, listening, learning. See, God knows everything that comes our way. He knows every temptation. He knows every pitfall. He knows the traps. He knows the dangers along the way. And should we stumble, as we often will, He's there to pick us up and say, "My son, my daughter, I am with you. I am here to strengthen you." Peter, as he was on the sea, sinking, he called out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord pulled him up. So we need to be those who are walking with God. There's so many influences in the world today that can draw us away and cause us to walk that way when we are walking another way. It's not a broad way, we are walking another way. Many things that may be justifiable or lawful to us, but in actual fact they are harmful to our Christian way, our Christian walk, and our Christian testimony. I find these some of the saddest words in the Bible. Mark 4, verse 54. Peter followed him, that's Jesus, from afar or from a distance. How sad. The time when Jesus needed Peter most, he wasn't there. This same Peter, who a few days before had vowed, "I will never leave you, Lord. I'm prepared to die for you. I'm willing to go to the cross for you. I'm willing to go to the cross with you. I will not let you down." When the test came, Peter fell. Why? Because he was relying on his own strength and he was not walking with the Lord as he should have been. Peter had let other things take his priority and weaken his love and walk for Christ. Probably even unaware. Things had come between Peter and the Saviour. So where do we find Peter? Where is Peter? He tells you he's following Jesus from a distance. How far are you following the Lord today? Peter was with the assembled rabble. He was with the crowd. He was with those who were liars and cheats and murderers. He was with the unbelievers. But worse than that, he was walking in the powers of darkness. Who you associate with makes a big difference to your walk with Christ. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the world and serve God. We can be servants to the world, but we cannot serve the world and serve God. We have to be walking with someone. It means we are travelling in the same direction. We are moving at the same pace. You get to know each other. There is harmony. There is unity. There is communion. There is purpose. You become closer. Enoch was the first of only two men never to die. What is God looking for this morning? When He looks upon us this morning in this place, what is God looking for? And Enoch was one of only two people never to die. Who was the other one? You don't know. Thank you. You're awake. The other being Elijah. He was also the first to walk with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wow. That is amazing. I found this man quite amazing. Hebrews 11 says that by faith Enoch was taken from this world, so he did not experience death. It could not be found because God took him. Enoch was of the antediluvian period. That means he was one of those people who existed before the flood. Oh yes, I believe in the flood. The world he moved in was vile, corrupt, godless, lawless, men overthrowing God's word and doing their own thing. In all these things, Enoch walked with God. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. What an incredible life to have. He must have loved and served God with all his heart and walked with God every moment of every day. He was not going to be distracted from serving God. So Enoch was not. So what was Enoch not? Try saying that first thing in the morning. Three things that Enoch was not. He was not conformed to this world. How easy it would have been for him to turn and say, well, everybody else is doing this. I'm going to follow after them, just like all the other sheep. He took no part in the evil and sin which surrounded him. He refused to go with the crowd. He refused to be contaminated by the things that he saw and the things that he heard. He was determined he was going to walk with God. Second thing, he was not controlled by the world. He refused to be manipulated by the powers that now work in the children of disobedience. He knew he had a greater power in his life. He knew that the power of God could overcome all the temptations and all the trials that the powers of darkness that Satan could bring his way. It was not controlled by the prince of the power of this world. It was controlled by the Spirit of God. And then Enoch was not condemned with the world. He escaped the judgment to come. I've already said that his son's name meant when he died, it would bring along the judgment of God in the form of the flood. He was not condemned with the world. Enoch's name is very revealing. His name means dedicated, and he was dedicated to his God. The world does not please God because it is against God. Can light have fellowship with darkness? Can two walk together lest they be in agreement? Enoch pleased God, a man of steely, determined character, a man not afraid to stand against the prevailing current. A man not afraid to swim against the tide. But it's so easy for him to say, yes, okay, for peace and quiet, I'll go along with what you say and what you do. But he refused to compromise his love and dedication to God. All too often, we allow the world to dictate to the church, to our agenda, and have followed the dictates of a godless age. We should not be doing that. We should be following God. We allow the factions of the world, the music of the world, the princes of the world, and allow the world to dictate and intrude into the church. I don't mean this church. I'm talking about the church outside. You see some of the things that I would bring in just to please men, to get people into the church. God will judge the church just as he judges the sinner, more so. The more that's been revealed to them, the more they will have to answer to. The church should be setting the agenda. It should be the head, not the tail. Enoch walked with God every step, seeing and learning, walking in close communion with God throughout his life. There are three sections to your walk with God. Three parts. It starts when the day we give our hearts and lives to Christ. When we realise we need him as our saviour and we commit our lives to him. That is the start of our lives. Like a baby, we have to walk and we have to learn day by day. And the way to do that is to be with Jesus. Then there is the middle part, the ups and downs, the pitfalls, the mountains, the valleys, the heartaches, the joys. All those are part of our Christian walk. Climbing the mountains and going down into the valleys. The years of drought, the years of plenty, all part of our walk. That's normally the longest part of our walk. So with the start as a little baby in Christ, then the middle when we're continuing to grow, continuing to mature, continuing to learn more about God. And then there is the end. One day, we'll all go the same way unless the Lord comes for us first. Enoch walked so far with God that God turned round to him and said, look how far you've come, Enoch. Not worth going back. Come with me. Come home with me. And praise God, every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ in this place this morning is going to hear, it's time to come home. Come home to the place I've gone to prepare for you. And that's just what Enoch did. But not everyone who walks with God will be taken straight into heaven without dying. It does imply that walking with God opens up the pathway to heaven and home. If we are here when the rapture takes place, don't confuse the rapture with the second coming. When the rapture takes place, all those who love the Lord and remain will be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be present with the Lord. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you living a life that is pleasing God? We will rob, if we're here when the rapture takes place, we will rob the undertaker of his fee. We rob the cemeteries of their fee. We will not have a burial. We shall go straight through the sky. Our destination is heaven. Should it be via the grave, we will open our eyes in glory. Walking with God means you have someone to share the burden, to share the walk, to keep you going. Someone who will never leave you or forsake you. And it will, when we walk with God, it becomes the centre of our world and the centre of our desires. It becomes our heart's desire and focus. We fix our eyes upon him. Walking with God will require letting go of everything that could be a distraction. It means walking in a state of unbroken fellowship, of unbroken communion, of unbroken obedience to what God requires. Walking with God is not reserved for Christ or church on Sunday. It is a lifestyle. It is a life-changing style. It is God first and God always. It is saying with Paul, I count all things lost that I might know him. Jesus is our supreme example of someone who walked with God, always open to the voice of the Father, always walking in step with Jesus, only walking in step with God, only doing what the Father told him to do, not the things that pleased himself. So in conclusion, are you walking with God? Do you want to walk with God? Are you walking as you once did? Or have the cares of this world blunted your edge, causing you to lag behind? Do you want to draw again close to God today? Enoch pleased God. How? By walking with God. By not becoming contaminated by the world. And God took him. He walked straight in to glory. I want to be here when the Lord comes. I want to be here when the rapture takes place. But I don't mind if I go by the grave because I know where I'm going. But how wonderful it would be to be walking along one day and the Lord just to come and take me to be with him. We never have, none of us ever know when that day will be. But that does not mean that we cannot walk with God every day of our lives, to commune with him, to listen to him, to walk. Getting physical, getting spiritually fit by speaking to him and communicating with him every moment of every day. He walked with God. He pleased God and God took him. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Praise his name. No longer I roam. My soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. Amen. God bless you.